guide us in what to say. We know there's a lot that needs to be said, maybe, and sometimes trying to find the right way to say it's the worst problem. But pray one for another. Also, as we pray this morning, I have a prayer request at the house that they gave me from the Atlanta church. It's a child, and I don't remember what its name is or anything. I laid it down on my desk the other day, and I forgot to bring it, but there's a child in Atlanta they wanted us to pray for. So just as we pray this morning, the Lord knows all about it. He knows who the child is and everything. So when we pray, just remember that. And pray for each one of us. Pray for Brother Woodby. He'll be speaking for us, the Lord willing, tonight in the service. Let's just read Revelation 6. I tried to get him to preach this morning. Now, it ain't my fault because he's sitting over there. That's not my problem. That's his. But he didn't want to preach this morning. He said he wanted to preach tonight. So that was the way we had to end it up. You can't twist a person's leg sometimes too hard because you might break him leg, and that's about as far as they go. But we just appreciate Brother Woodby, appreciate the people of the message. Revelation 6, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the noise of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And Revelation 16, these are well familiar scriptures with all of us. Verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Let's all pray together. Father, we ask you that you'd bless us this morning with your presence. We appreciate you. We know that you are the one that will guide us and be with us. Bless the people that are not with us, those that are away for different reasons. Lord, we just commit everything to you. Guide us all by your grace. Remember this one, this child that we've asked for, Lord. We ask you to remember also our wife that has got a headache this morning, and we know those things are hindrances to the physical body. But we pray that you might grant understanding to each one and just go there now as knowing that distance has nothing to do with it. But just go and be there with her and take away the headaches and be with the child that we've asked for. All the other requests we've asked this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you know, for quite a while we've been trying to speak on the fourth seal, and trying to get some things into the right place to where we could understand some things, and I hope you're enjoying it. We went up to Brother Woodby's last weekend and had a wonderful time up there, and I spoke on the fourth seal and things up there, and had a real good reception to what was being said, and I believe we had a good time in the Lord. I really enjoyed myself anyway. I'm kind of like Brother Thurman said one time, and I bragged on him. I said, "You know, I enjoyed you singing." He said, "Well, I enjoyed singing." So that's just the way it is. I enjoyed being up there, and I think they enjoyed the message, and I enjoyed being there. So that was the way that it always is. But what if we found some things from it? Maybe we can just review a little this morning and then speak a little bit, because we wanted to speak on spiritual Armageddon or death destroyed. We want to try to speak a little bit about it. It'd be spiritual Armageddon or death destroyed. It'll still be the fourth seal. It'll be message number 9 if you want to keep up with your messages on it. But what have we found now in studying from that? We read the scripture there. We'll see in a minute why we read this scripture in Revelation 16. But when we read the scripture on the fourth seal, it said that rider of that pale horse had a name written on him, and his name was called Death. And hell followed with him. Well, see, then we've been studying that for quite a while, looking at something, and we found that death is eternal separation. See, once when you die, that's eternal separation in the death that spoke of there in the fourth seal. Now, if you're a Christian, when you die. You know, Jesus said about Lazarus, he kept on saying, Lazarus sleepeth, I'll go wake him. They said, well, if Lazarus is asleep, then just leave him alone, because that's, you know, he needs to rest if he's sick. But he finally told them about a physical thing that they can understand. He said, Lazarus is dead. Well, that didn't mean this type of death. See, you've got there in the scriptures, you've got things about death that, see, a Christian can't die. You know, he dies physically. You take him down to the graveyard and you bury his body, but physically he can't die. Now, to prove that, even back there, the Lord Jesus had power that when he came there to Lazarus, see, he was physically dead. He was dead, what we call physically. But he wasn't eternally separated from God. He was just separated from his brothers and sisters. He was in the presence of God, really, is where he was, because he just separated from them. But now when Jesus stepped up, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Proving he wasn't eternally separated, Lazarus came forth. The little girl that was raised from the dead, see, she'd been dead for a few days or something, and they was in there mourning her death. But when Jesus came there, he said, the girl's not dead, said she's just asleep. The Bible said they laughed him to scorn. In other words, they just made fun of him. Because they'd done embalmed her and got everything ready to bury her, and they was sitting there with the family, you know, thinking about how that the good little girl had been and all, you know, and everything, and they was getting ready to bury her. And Jesus said, she's not dead. Said she's sleeping. Well, in plain language, he's saying, she's not eternally separated from me. She's just dead physically. She's just physically died. She's left her body. But see, when he spoke, she came back. All right, then this type of death that you're talking about, if you want to put it down, it's 309, 310, and 317 there on the fourth seal that the prophet covers eternal separation. See, this type of death that we read of is a death of eternal separation. Now watch the scripture back there. When they came to Jesus, they said, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, you know, and all this. And Jesus looked at them and said, and there ever one dead. Well, now, in that extent there, he was saying, there ever one eternally separated from me. Because, see, they failed to go into the promised land when he told them to go in, you know, and all like that. And they turned back to wanting to go back to the garlics and the cucumbers and everything. And Jesus, when he spoke to them, he said, they said, our fathers, you know, running their lineage back, boy, looking good. He said, yeah, but they're ever one dead. See, the same death this scripture's talking about. Death is an eternal separation. Natural death is a separation. We can see that. When a person dies, he goes to the grave. That's separation from his family. But when you die this type of death that this seal reveals, that's eternal separation. They always separate. He comes to a place until he's just annihilated. That's why we don't believe in hell being eternal, because it was created for the devil and his angels. And anything that was created, that's what the Bible said it was, created for the devil and his angels. Anything created had a beginning, and anything that had a beginning is not eternal. So then you'd have to have eternal life to burn in hell, and there's no eternal hell. But there is an eternal separation. Once you're severed there, that's where it's at. Well, see, this writer, when he started, he was death over there we found in the first seal. When he just started out with this little sayings and little doctrines and ideas, he was death right there. But yet we didn't know him as that. We saw the first seal and saw him how that he had a bow but no arrows to go with his bow. Well, we read that from the prophet how he was a bluff. But yet coming down to the fourth seal, then you see that he's not just a bluff. He's just something along the way to help us. You remember the message here a while back that we spoke on death, how that it was just a perversion of life. It's not a power of its own. It's just a perversion of life. It's something God permitted to happen to this man that I am to keep me from living on and on and on and on and on. So he permitted death to take that But that's not the eternal separation we're talking about. See, he just permit the death to take this flesh and deliver me. Paul said it's better for me to go on, but said for your benefit I have to stay. All right, then death is eternal separation. And coming up in this hour, this seal shows us that that death, then there's a battle between life and death there. And that's eternal separation. It cuts you off because when you're finished, that you might have to come up to white throne judgment and be judged to be cast into the lake of fire. But still death, under that seal, when it started in the first one, it was death right then. Now we see it as a name called death. It's eternal separation. Well now, what we want to see, if we can this morning, is look at death rightly, like we did in that message 2 or 3 weeks ago, to see that it was not a power, it was just a permitted thing of the Lord. But what we've got to see is death destroyed. In other words, physically dying, someday somebody, according to the Bible, will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. See, everybody's always preached that, you know, we'll be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye and all like this and go to be with the Lord. But somebody, before that happens, somebody's got to see something that causes that to happen. Death has took every man. I'm talking about physically dying now, not the eternal separation. Death took the apostles that you read of here in the Bible. Death took Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Death has took every man all the way from then all the way down. Death even, we're talking about physically dying, even took the prophet of this end time. Well, then there was something that he even spoke of. Because that's the only way we ever will get it is by what he said. But something he said he didn't fully understand. Something he spoke of will bring that revelation to us that death would be destroyed that he himself didn't see. All right, he said, now a prophet don't always understand everything that he says, but said what he says is, thus saith the Lord. Kind of hard to see that a man back there in the Bible, he said a lot of things, but I don't think he understood. He just tried to say it in his day and age. That's like Naaman saying chariots jostling in the streets, running like torches. Well, he didn't understand that that would be freeways out here in a modern 1983 of expressways and cars running up and down the roads at night with their lights on. Because then, all they had was chariots. So he said, chariots jostling in the streets, running like torches. He didn't understand what he was saying, but what he said was, thus saith the Lord. The Lord himself was speaking through the man. All right, then death, if we can see something about death, that's why I've been trying to preach all for quite a while about it. See, if we can see it rightly in the scriptures and the prophet's message, then we can see how it'll be destroyed. And I started off by showing you that death is not a power. You remember the message? If death was a power, you cannot create energy in the natural. You can't create energy. Neither destroy it. That's a natural physical law out here. You can harness the atom. It's already here. You can't create an atom. See, you can neither create energy nor destroy energy. That's in the natural out here. All right, in the spiritual, you cannot, if there's a power there, you cannot destroy that power if it's a power. So we found Satan don't have no power. Romans 13:1 there where it says there's only one power and the powers that be are ordained of God, or in other words, permitted of God. Death is permitted to get us out of this. If it didn't, we'd live 500 years. What would it be like to a person that you've seen movies of it and things on televisions and things like that, of people that maybe would come over to another time element, why, they're just a misfit when they get there. You've seen them like Tarzan taken out of the jungles, and that's You know, both of them would be in the same time element, but bring him out of the jungles, put him in the city. Why, just cars running around everywhere. Well, what would it be if you took a man about 500 years ago and them riding horses and buggies around and brought him over here and just let him live all the way through? Why, he'd be such a misfit. So God knows that won't work. What would it be like if there was nothing called, if there wasn't something called death to take you? Why, the people would be eat up with cancers and all kind of things just hanging all over them and them not able to die. See, it'd be a pitiful situation. But God permitted the man to die. He allowed that to happen. Well, then, let's don't fear death that away then. See, don't fear it. Just look right at it and say, death, you're just something that will take me into the arms of my master. And if I ain't even a Christian, you ought not fear death. I mean, now you ought to, because you'd be eternally separated from God that away. But in the natural physical being, I wouldn't want to live 500 years and me have a cancer at the time I was born, have a cancer the size of a spoon. What would it be like in 500 years if I lived with it? See, natural man now, he's gone into these places that, like you've read about them, of the accounts of people dying and then coming back to life, you know, on an operating table. And they're proven, documented accounts, not just some fly-by-night theory or some concoction, some story somebody made up. There's people that have actually come back from death that where they had died and left their bodies and went away and told the doctors what they said, told them the reading of the instruments that was over them, told them all of the things that happened in the operating room, that after they were totally physically counted dead, they told them what was going on. Well, they can't argue with that. So death should be something that we shouldn't fear. Fear the fact of not serving God. Don't fear the death, because death is just something to take you away, and if you're lost, you're just lost. But fear the fact that you're not serving God. The Bible says don't fear the person or the one there, you know, that can destroy the body. You know, make you physically die. But to fear the one that can destroy the soul. All right, then we know we're not supposed to fear God. Throughout the Bible, every time He come, He'd say, fear not. What are we to fear then? Fear that when we meet Him, we won't be accepted. So then, that's where we come to the place, see, in our life that we need to fear then whether or not we'll be accepted on that day. But death itself is not a power. It's not something that will... It's something for our benefit. All right, looking at it that way then, how is death destroyed? What causes death to be destroyed? See, what will come to a place that can fulfill that scripture that Paul said that we'll be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye? What will cause that? I've preached over and over on it, just come up to a place and drop back and say things, and when we get through maybe this morning, you'll see that that's what I've been saying for a long time. So just drop it in and then come back to try to get you to catch it along the way. And then when I say it, you'll know what I'm talking about. And you'll know it's already been said. Now what causes physical death to be destroyed one day? So we'll have to, if we're going to go with it, we'd have to go into Scriptures and watch something in the Scriptures, because that's the only place we can go. Oh, we could have an idea of how that time just runs out, you know. Everybody now is worried about time. We'd say, well, time just run out. Well, I didn't think God had any time. See, I didn't think He had time. I thought He was eternal. Well, then it's not just a running out of time that causes it. Well, it's the good life of the people. Well, now, you think they didn't live a good life in the book of Acts? You think Wesley and them didn't live a good life when, I believe it's recorded of Wesley, that he said there wasn't even no food value in a cup of coffee and he wouldn't even drink it. I mean, he just didn't care that much about it. So it's not a good life that we live that causes the world to come to an end, or death to be destroyed, is it? It'll have to be something that God does. The best we could do was cause death. Eve, the best she could do, caused the death to come. Right? Death is a perversion of life, and Jesus never attended a funeral. Death and life can't exist at the same time, and Jesus never attended a funeral. When he was going down the ladder, he raised him up from the dead. He went over to the girl, he raised her up. One day he's walking down the road and they was taking a man out to bury him. The woman, you know, there with her son, taking him to bury him. And Jesus just stopped the funeral procession, raised the man from the dead, sent him on back home. I guess that was a funny bunch of undertakers when he got through, wouldn't it? I mean, today it would really be something, wouldn't it? Here goes a funeral procession down the highway. We met one yesterday down in Greene County. It'd been something to just to stop them and said, hold it. Now they was mourning and weeping to go, you know, and the undertaker, he's mourning because his billfold maybe ain't quite as fat as it needs to be. He didn't make enough off of it. But about that time, you just stop and say, hey, that man's not dead. Well, we done embalmed him, and we done that. That's all right. Just open the door back there. Open the casket, and you just lay your hands on it, raise him up from the dead, and he starts running down the highway, and here goes the undertaker trying to collect his money from somebody. But that's just the point of it. Death and life can't exist. There's no way you can put the two together. You turn out the lights in here. If it was dark outside, you strike one match and hold it up. It'll put out every bit of the darkness in you. It wouldn't matter if the whole city of Lula was in a total blackout, that you couldn't see your hand before your face. If there was a place you could get high enough, you could strike one match and hold it up, it'd put out every bit of that light, I mean that darkness. Because everybody could see that light. Well, see, death and life then can't exist. So the battle that's coming to in the end time is a battle between life and death. You know, death and life is coming to a struggle. And we read the scriptures of Armageddon, how that he gathers them to that place called Armageddon. All right, Armageddon, you turn on the radio, you'll hear the preachers preaching about Armageddon, and they call it the Valley of Megiddo and all like that, where the airplanes will fly through and the Russians coming this way. And they said that we've got a tape now about a man said he had proof out of a documented thing that back in sometime in 82, if Israel hadn't went over and took over Lebanon, then Russia was already ready to invade. They got enough equipment, they claim, out of tunnels and underground places that the Russians had it stored, that Israel can take that equipment, so they had enough there to supply a million soldiers with food and ammunition and all kind of weapons and everything, said that they can take that and sell it and pay their national debt off. Now, they found that much, Russia was that much ready to attack. He got everything ready, but just because Russia's going to attack, that's not going to destroy death. That just caused it. I mean, that's sensible, ain't it? If Russia attacks us, that just kills us. That don't cause us to change. We can say, well, what caused, we see Russia, and that's not going to cause us to change. There's got to be something in the Word that we can see. And when we can see that, then death can be destroyed. Now, I've talked with Brother Woodby a little bit, and I believe tonight's message will help you understand what I'm trying to say. This is the things that he's talking about, and there's some of the things I won't mention this morning because I know we've done talked about it, and if it's in the man's message, you don't want to preach his message for him. I mean, I want him to preach his own. But death has to be destroyed. And the Bible said the last enemy to be destroyed is death. See, then that'll go all the way through. So we've been preaching on the fourth seal, and we've seen that what happens under the fourth seal? Under the natural side of what it shows, you know, of the things of it, it shows Israel in the tribulation period after the church is done gone, you know. It shows Israel there in the tribulation period, and it shows them coming down to a place called Armageddon. And then it shows a battle transpiring called Armageddon, and Armageddon means termination of forces. That's the one word for it, termination of forces. In other words, life and death comes to a final struggle. It means mount of slaughter. It means the final decisive battle between good and evil. See, then we go into the millennium, and you know, and then go on like that. All right, then Israel in the tribulation after the church is gone, if we can watch them, maybe we can catch it from that, and then you'll see I've said these things before, but didn't elaborate on them too much. Because I told you way back then, we was going to talk on death being destroyed one day. Israel in the tribulation comes to a place that there's a great battle that will transpire. And it's called the Battle of Armageddon. All right, then in that battle will be a termination of the forces that will be gathered there. Now we think, well, Armageddon will be between Russia, you know, and the Arabs on this side supplied by the Russians and all the different things that's happening. And then it covers, you know, United States may be on one side of it fighting for Israel. Well, that's okay, but that don't get the point. The prophet told us where those forces come from on the fourth seal. And he didn't mention Russia and China or anybody else coming around fighting. He said it was Catholics and Protestants. All right, now we preached the message on that, so you know what we're talking about. Catholics and Protestants coming together to fight a final battle against the homeland of Israel. All right, then when that happens, Russia is Protestant. You say, oh, they're atheistic. Well, that's enough to prove right there they're Protestant. Because all of your Protestant system is based on a Trinitarian doctrine. That's what it's based on. It's based on a Trinitarian doctrine. Well, then we just read that there was three unclean spirits like frogs, and a frog looks backwards. And he looks back where he come from Nicaea. The three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Three unclean spirits like frogs, the Nicaean Council, it's where the Trinitarian doctrine got started at. And all of you churches look back down to there for their foundation. See, because that's what it is. Then when Russia comes down, God don't say, hey, there comes Russia down. He shows it for what it really is. When Daniel saw it, he saw the streak of iron run through every nation of the world. And in Matthew about 4 or 8:1 there, Jesus, when he saw it, was speaking to the devil in the temptation. The devil took him up there and he said, I'll give you all these kingdoms. And he showed him the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus never argued with him about it, because he knew they belonged to Satan at the time. He controls every nation in the world. He controls the United States. He controls Russia, China. He even, as a physical, natural government, he even controls Israel. See, Israel will be in a covenant with the Antichrist. The natural nation of Israel will be in that covenant. And they'll be over there after 144,000 people. And you're two witnesses. That's all he is there to do. Then after the covenant's broke, sure you'll have raining down of atom bombs and all kind of things that will be happening, you know, to be the final battle. But the battle has to be going on now. See, there's something going on now to us. And it will end in Armageddon with the Jews fighting there. But now, just or in that period of time of the fighting, somewhere in there, death will be destroyed to Israel. I'm not talking about all Israel now. The two witnesses, they're in the Bible. They are killed physically. They lay in the day in the streets for 3 days. And then it says life come in them and they go up. Alright, now, then in that, life comes into those two witnesses. That shows you right there, or it does to me at least, that death is destroyed. Because any way you can make that rapture, you're going to make that rapture by death being destroyed. Alright, the two witnesses will be killed, sure, but yet they will be raised from the dead. And in a rapture, they'll go up. But what causes death to be destroyed there? See, if you can see a rapture there, all right, now we can see a rapture and the things that will do it. We can see it in the Bible, you know, that death will be destroyed there to them. But now how is it destroyed? We can see a church and see that one of these days we'll be chained a moment in a twinkling of an eye. But how is it destroyed? See, how is it destroyed? What causes it to be destroyed? Alright, looking at Israel, what causes it to be destroyed to Israel is what? When God comes on the scene there to Israel in the tribulation period and stands there and fights for them, that's what causes death to be destroyed. Right, now you ought to be picking up where we've been preaching at for quite a while. We've been talking about Israel and coming down to the place, and I just say it and then back up and go on others. I never made that statement that strong. When God steps on the scene there to those witnesses and through those two witnesses, they see Christ standing there. Sure, they're physically killed. But yet, the fact that God is there himself, Brother Branham says, and we'll cover it later on the sixth seal, he said right here, talking about in the tribulation there at that time, he said right here, God himself rides on the scene. Alright, now if God rides on the scene, then we've done look back yonder and seen that when God was in human flesh, he never went to a funeral. He never attended a funeral. When he was there in human flesh, he raised the dead. They couldn't stand in his presence. The devil, it was so powerful in that man in the tombs that he would just tear great chains apart and just get away and hurt people. And everything. But when Jesus walked out, he didn't say a word to him. He didn't argue with him and scream and fuss at him and all like that. When he walked up there, that man come running out there, boy, ready to tear him up. And he just stood there. Me and you, we'd run like crazy, wouldn't we? A crazy person. I went to the hospital one time where my brother-in-law tore a hospital door off. Now, you've been in hospitals and seen the doors and the way they made in hospitals, hadn't you? I went up there one time and he was beating a hammer back there. I said, what's wrong back there? He said, that's when I got mad last night and tore a door off. They was having to put the door back up because he tore the thing off. The devil, when he gets in a person, he just strong, like we call it adrenaline flows. You know, you say, well, I know one time it was my brother-in-law that's Donald Perdue, back before him and my sister married. They turned a car over on a boy. I mean, turned it over and the boy fell out. His leg went outside the door and he was trapped under the bottom of a car, laying on its side. They all left to go get help, and the boy was wanting to get out, and my brother-in-law now, you know, he just backed up to the car and caught a hold of it and is laying just right, and he rocked it, and the man under the bottom screamed, and when he did, I guess a good flow of adrenaline hit him. He just picked the car up and set it back up on his wheels. Go ask him about it. He turned it back up on the wheels, and it laying on its side. Throwed the boy clean through the other side of the car when he come out. See, that's just adrenaline. That's just something natural. If that's that strong with adrenaline, what is it with the devil? But yet when that man run out there, see, to attack the Lord Jesus, he didn't scream and holler, "Devil, I'll get you," you know. He just stood there. Because he knew who he was. He wasn't scared of dying. He knew he was there for a job, and he knew he couldn't go till that job was done. And he just stood there. Didn't matter how many demons run at him or what he done, he didn't argue and fuss with him. He said, "Satan, come out of him." Brother Branham, you remember when the man come running up to the platform to him and was going to kill him? He done busted a preacher's jaw right before then, you know, and everything else. And here he comes running at Brother Branham, and these guards run in, all of them, to grab him, you know, and try to hold him. Brother Branham said, "Just leave him alone." He said, "It's not a physical battle." He said, "Just leave him alone." That man made a great challenge, how he was going, "You sir, you man claiming to be a servant, you lie, that I'll break your neck or something." He said, "This," Brother Rand just turned to him, he said, "You'll bow at my feet." Now he didn't scream and holler and fuss at him. When God is standing there, you don't have to fear. When that bull come running at Brother Branham, he said, "Let me die like a man." But then he said, something happened to him. And he looked back at the bull and he said, "Bull, just go over there and lay down." See, when God rides on the scene, that's what I'm wanting you to see this morning, if you don't see nothing else, that when God comes on the scene, death has to back off. The Lord Jesus, when he was standing there in human flesh, that was God himself in human flesh, and he never went to a funeral. He always raised the dead, and every obstacle that ever come in his way, he just moved it. We're told by the prophet he had faith in what the Word said he was, is the reason he could do those things. Then death can't stand in the presence of God. Could death go to heaven this morning? Now we talk about heaven, you know, and what it is in the presence of God. Do you think death could go there this morning? Well, then if God is here, and we're taught he's here on this earth, then what's wrong? It's something in our believing that's causing the problem. It's not God. He's just as powerful here today as he was when he walked the shores of Galilee. You say, "Yes, but if you believe really what you said, your wife wouldn't be laying at home today with a sick headache." When Jesus raised a man from the dead over there, the boy, the record says of him in history that he sat on a rock and groaned with a headache. That ain't got nothing to do with it now, so don't even think that way. Brother Branham, the man that stood and saw five accounts of records proven that he raised the dead on five accounts. I mean medical records. One of them were, or two of them were, the child died of, one of them I know was a child died of mourning, and they came all the way across over there to another state or something. And the child was raised from the dead that night. But that man was the sickest man in the country, stomach-wise. Going to the doctor out there in 1962 when he preached Jehovah Jireh series, going to the hospital, to the doctor every day and standing there at night praying and seeing the blind to receive their sight and the epileptics set free, everything like that, but yet still sick. That has nothing to do with it. You don't think like that. It is our unbelief that causes the sickness to stay sometimes. But sometimes it's not. It's the Lord allowing that to happen, just like he allows death to happen unto us. See, he allows something to stay there for a while where when you come out of it, you'll be a stronger person. All right, then death and life. Now, do you see the background of what I'm trying to get you? Israel, what causes death to be destroyed to them is when God himself rides right in there on the scene and stands there, and death has to back off. Just like he was when he was standing there on the shores of Galilee and had so much control of his body till he could just walk on water. See, because no force could come against him. Natural gravitation keeps us here, but it couldn't control him. He had that power over him. He just walked on because he knew it wasn't a power. He told Peter, he said, come on. He said, if that be thee, bid me come. He said, come on, Peter. Peter stepped out there and started walking until he got scared. But now I'll ask you a question. How'd he get back in the boat? He got out to Jesus on the water. How'd he get back in the boat, you know? I guess we see Jesus catch him and both of them swim back to the boat. No. I see Jesus take him by the hand and just walk back to the boat and get in. See, death can't stay where life. That's what I want you to see. Armageddon means something. In other words, it's a termination of two forces. It's two forces that finally terminate. It's not Russia against Israel or Arabs against Israel. It's Satan against God that finally comes to an end. See, that's the battle. Well, then we see there now, that's two times in the Bible that death is destroyed. Two times there that death is destroyed, because when they killed Jesus physically, what happened to him? The Bible tells us what happened. He rose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave as a victory over it. All right, then he showed death could be destroyed. Then when you see, here is your second account, you see the two witnesses standing there that death's destroyed. See, they go up. But what's it caused by? It's caused by the Lord being on the scene there. Not that he's off up in heaven and you're screaming and hollering for him up there, you know. Oh, Lord, forgive me, you know. No, he's not up there. He's down here with us. Well, then if we can see that rightly now, getting to the time that we are, see, that's two accounts in the Bible. That God was on the scene with Jesus, raised him up. That's what the Scripture teaches us. See, he raised the same spirit, went down, his soul went down, come back up, picked up his body, and walked right off with it. The two witnesses, they may kill him, sure. But God comes on the scene right there when they do that. Not that he ain't there with them, because he's there doing all kinds of signs, closes heaven for 3.5 years. But yet his literal presence comes on the scene. Those two witnesses, even the Jews say, where'd you get the nail prints in your hands? They see that so much as his literal presence. They see his literal presence through those two witnesses till they see the nail prints in his hands. They don't see the corporal body. The corporal body of Jesus is not standing there. He's in the two witnesses. But then something, when they kill them two witnesses, that didn't destroy God when he put Jesus in the tomb. That just started it. He wasn't scared of dying. He gave his life. They say they got 14 nails held him to the cross. Baloney. Love held him to the cross. That's where the disciples, sure, they couldn't understand a man that could raise the dead, a man that could walk on water, a man that could do all them things or something while he's in life. Multiply bread, do all that. And then one day they seen him hanging on the cross. They thought he was defeated. Natural man thinks now, we're defeated. What are we going to do? It's just getting bad everywhere. There just ain't nobody got nothing hardly. I'm talking about the people of this message and the way they talk. But there's more in me than ever been in from the time I started. What's been in me all along will take me out of here one of these days. You've never seen me. You've seen me through heartaches and troubles. You've seen me when everybody turned against me. But you've never seen me when I was down, have you? You've seen me when I was down because of everybody else and all like that and heartaches and troubles. But you've never seen me, well, I don't know how to do. I just can't. My got kids live in my house. No, it's never been that away. I've had troubles as a Christian. I've had heartaches and troubles, and I've got mad and angry and whooped kids and done everything like everybody else, but they never seen me down spiritually that away. They can answer that if they'd like. They've always seen their daddy as a goal in his life to say, Jesus Christ will take us through it. If we can get him here on the scene is where it's at, not the fact that he's up yonder. He's not up there. He's down here living in our hearts. But something there when that physical body was put in the grave of the Lord Jesus. That soul went down, and when it come back, something happened to it and took it out. He's standing there in the tribulation on the scene with two witnesses testifying in the great closing heaven for 3.5 years that it rained not. Doing all kind of signs, but all at once when they're destroyed, looks like. Then God just rides right in there. Something happens. And his literal presence comes so much until that's the way the prophet stated. And as I said, we'll get to it later on the sixth seal, where he says right here is where he rides on the scene at. When it looks like defeat has took everything, there he was standing there. Life and death is at its last battle then, right then. Alright, we're born again. Let's give another illustration in the Bible now to show you something. When you're born again, when you are born again by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, prior to that time, Satan's living in your soul. Is that true? Satan's living in there. But when you're born again, Satan has to come out. God goes in, and where God is life. He won't exist, the Bible says, an unclean vessel. So he's not going in there with the devil. I don't care what we want to think about it. He won't do it. All right, then he rides on the scene to your soul at the time you're born again, and that makes that soul eternal, and that soul never has to die then. See, that soul then never has to die because God's on the scene. If you could kill a Christian, you can kill God. If you can kill a Christian, you can kill God. I mean, I don't care. I'm talking to the devil if he wants to hear that. If you can destroy a Christian, you can destroy God. But he can't do it, and he knows it. Sure, he can attack this flesh. Sure, he's trying his best right now to give me a headache, and I ain't had one in years. That ain't got nothing to do with it. He can't destroy me. I'm undefeatable, the prophet said. He can't defeat me. It's not me, see. Now, there's three times in the Bible that when God comes on the scene, and the Bible said, let everything be proved in the mouth of two or three witnesses, that God rides on the scene into your soul. Not that he just comes in and wipes it out, you know, and cleans it like sanctification, just cleans the thing out of it. His literal presence comes into there. He himself comes and takes his abode in there. Life and death then can exist together. That's three times now to prove that it can be done. Not to just prove that it can be done, but to show you how it's done. See, Paul knew. He said, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? He was on his way to get his head chopped off when he said that. Now, that's the way the prophet stated it. Well, it looks like he went down in defeat. But he was walking at death, seeing death for what it was. In simple language, he is saying, see, death, where's your victory? You know, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? He's simply saying, death, come on, take me. Physically, I'll die. Come on, chop my head off. Physically, I'll die. But grave, you can't have no victory over me. Because it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Take me down. Do what you want to me. But you'll never defeat me. See, he wasn't scared. People now, you know, they start, oh, I'm dying. I'm scared of dying. And listen, as I told them at Brother Woodby's church the other day when I was preaching on this, we're not stupid, you know. Let's not think stupidity. Say, well, if you like that, walk out in front of that train. I said, don't be stupid now. See, that's tempting God. Don't be stupid. I want to stay here and go into change. I don't want to go by the grave. There's something about death I don't fully understand, even though I'm beginning to see something. There was something about the death that the Lord Jesus didn't fully understand. Because he said that this cup may pass from me. But yet when the next step you see, what did he say? He said, nevertheless, thy will be done. See, he stopped. Something changed him there. Nevertheless, see, even though it made him cry out and want to stay here, there's something about being a human, we want to stay here. The oldest to the youngest wants to live. There's people that lose their will to live, but you know what I'm talking about. There's 95, 100-year-old people today want to live just as much as a 16-year-old kid. But see, then what we're looking at is death. We've seen in the Bible three times there that death can be destroyed. Because when you were born again, that destroyed that death to your soul. As I said, not just go in and sweep it out. God himself comes in there. Not over there in the tribulation that this, they can call down fire, they can do all that, and they can see even the nail prints of his hand. But still something else comes on the scene there. His literal presence comes in, and when it does, death's destroyed. And the same thing with the Lord Jesus. So that's three times in the scriptures. Then that's enough. We don't need no more witnesses. We need to just apply that to us. Apply that to us. Now what have we been teaching? Past two sermons on the statue of a perfect man. Death's destroyed when you get faith and you're born again. But then you grow in grace and knowledge. Read the statue of a perfect man and see if Brother Branham doesn't say that the Holy Ghost made way. How's he stated? The Holy Ghost, the baptism, the Holy Ghost made the way for the Holy Ghost to come. Something of that order. I can't remember the exact. Maybe Christ made way for the Holy Spirit, see? You know what I'm talking about. Go back and read the book. In other words, something happens that God comes on the scene in your adoption and thing. You come up through here, through all of these virtues, until you see what is called Holy Spirit there. All right, that's God on the scene. That's God on the scene. That's the faith of the fathers. That's what I was talking about the other day. That's when God comes on the scene. And in our lives is God manifested in the faith of the fathers at that time. But then the headstone comes to the church. And the headstone is his literal presence. His literal presence then comes to a church. Ain't that the statue of a perfect man? Read it about page 45 and see if that ain't correct. I forgot to bring that in this morning just to read, but just go home when you get home and read it and see if that ain't what he said. The Holy Ghost made way for Christ's Holy Spirit to come. God himself in a living, moving tabernacle, the prophet said. God's presence on the scene. See, faith of the fathers won't destroy death. I'm sorry, it won't destroy death. To go back where Peter and them were, that won't destroy death. They died physically. Something else has to happen to a church. Something else has to happen to the person. See, then death can be destroyed. All right, we've done seen it three times in the Bible. We know what it is then. What is it? It's when his literal presence himself comes. And the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. And the word come means to be here. I tell you, you say come see me. That's incorrect. Our English language is so fouled up, I can't tell you to come see me. I can tell you that, but really what come means, it means for the literal presence to be there. So I say, come to see me. I don't say, would you, you know, Brother Collie living in Atlanta, 70 miles away from my house. I don't say, Brother Collie, would you come to see me? I don't mean, Brother Collie, go out, get in your car, go out to the curve and turn right, come out to the next light and coming out to the road and catch on this road and come over to the next one and come out to the Winter Chapel Hill or Wesley Chapel Road and come out that way and watch them two stop signs, two red lights, and then finally you get on. I'm not talking about that. I mean come up here. I mean when you get here, you're here. I don't mean come to see me, that start on your way. The Lord is here. But the people's got to believe it. You know yourself that there's been more turning down of the message in the last few months and year than they ever have in their life, then that means God's got to be here. You can think what you want to about me, that means God's here. Because a stone's got to be a rejected stone. Then the presence of the Lord. Those three unclean spirits, like frogs we read of there, brings the people. All the way through the Old and New Testament. And gathers all of that. It just come on down. Every battle that ever happened. Caused by Eve in Genesis when she disbelieved the word, took Satan's lie. She didn't believe Jesus Christ to be who he said he was when he was standing there as the tree of life. She got him as another person, and when she did, she produced another person too. Called the Antichrist. And it's always been that all the way through then. Every battle that's ever been caused in the Bible was caused by Eve in Genesis. Every battle that's ever been caused is just a battle getting ready for the last battle. Armageddon is just the last battle. All the other battles is getting ready for that battle. Just like when the United States whooped Germany and all that, they had to whoop them a little at a time. But then finally, one day when they got it all to a certain place, they just dropped a couple of bombs and it's over. Didn't take long then, did it? But it took years for them boys to get to there, to where that they'd do that. They fought a mini battle. They lost a lot of battles, but they never lost a war. We've lost a lot of battles in our life, but we've never lost a war. I've lost a many of them. I've been defeated myself in my own self many times in my life, but the Lord's never been defeated. He's never, in no way, ever failed me. I failed him. I failed you as a church. I failed in every respect. But God's never failed me. Then how do I get him on the scene? Just believe he's here and accept it and let him do the rest of it. He'll come on the scene. Just get myself out of the way. That's what this statue of a perfect man's doing to a person. It gets him out of the way. And God, as I told you the other day, when Satan, when there's one of them things in there that we don't need and it goes out, God always fills the place back up. He don't leave it empty. He fills it back up. When he takes out hate, he puts in love. When he takes out fear, see, he puts in joy. God never leaves us. He's always with us. But just think now. That great battle. Then you can read the fourth seal and see that it's going on right now. Because we're in a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood and powers and principalities. But what do we wrestle against? Spiritual wickedness in high places, things like that. That's what we wrestle against. Not a physical force. There's none of us being bothered anymore. We're too fat and lazy anyway, like it is. Maybe we need the Lord to let us come through some of that. We're having no troubles now. As Brother Lee Vale said, if it's a tribulation, give me 1,000 years of it. I'll be glad of it. You know, I'm doing real good. I might not have a whole lot, but I'm in health, and I go home and expect to eat a good meal and do what I want to. A few dollars in my pocket, and I'm happy. But yet, somebody will have to come to a place that they look right straight at death and say, "Death, where's your sting? Amen. Grave, where's your victory?" And not just, "Well, boy, bless God, I'll take the devil on this morning." I've heard people in this message do that, and years ago I was a Baptist, and that made me sick. It still makes me sick. So just jump up and down, like Brother Woodby said this morning, one time he going to call the devil's hand, and he did, and he got sicker. You just better be careful. When the Lord tells you to call his hand, now call his hand. See, when the Lord comes on the scene and tells you to do something, go do it. Like the other weekend when we went up to Erwin to preach for Brother Woodby. We left out of here, and you know it, with 3 and 4 inches. My kids know I wouldn't have done that years ago. We got to Hendersonville, North Carolina. We was down to this. The bridges was iced over on one side, and we just had to slow down and barely go through. Trucks just take like that, and this jackknife just pushed right out in the median. Rolled on the side sometime. 6 or 7 inches going through there. Wondering, well, what in the world's that mountain going to be like? Reached over and slapped Peggy on the hand one time. She hadn't said nothing to me for quite a while. I didn't talk going up there because I knew what God was doing. And I just stayed quiet to myself, meditating and praying. She hadn't said nothing for quite a while. I know she's going to slap. She said, I hope you know what you're doing. Because when you hit that mountain up there, we just went the week before and turned around and come back. 2 inches of snow on the mountain, we turned and come back. And that time, Hendersonville, 5 to 7 inches and expecting it to get worse. But yet when the Lord tells you, see, then you ain't got to worry about it. Well, then when I got there, I didn't know what was going on up there. And when I left out of the house, if the tire hadn't have been flat on the car, I'd have never backed out of the driveway. But that's what I said. I said, Lord, I'm going out there, and if that car backs out into the driveway and I can turn it around and pull it up there and get ready to go, I'll go. If it don't, I won't go. I backed the car out, didn't spin at all backing out. Pulled back up like that, turned over in the back up of the driveway, and turned back out this way, and turned about twice, spinning, and that's all, and pulled it back up there and looked down there, and there's a tire nearly flat. Had to go pump it up before we could even go. If it hadn't been flat, I wouldn't have moved. Lord knows how to take care of it. Got up there, and everybody up there just about it had a testimony. I've got the tapes if you want to listen to it. A testimony how the Lord was dealing and telling them. Sister Maloney down there in Knoxville, they said the snow had already hit and everything. It had done started. And they was praying, Lord, they didn't even know I was going to be there. What? They just wanted to come to church. It wasn't on account of me, but they're saying, Lord, we want to go to church. And if it snows and all, we won't be able to get there. And so it just stopped right there. Witness after witness of the Lord and what He was doing. See, He's on the scene. That's what I'm wanting you to see. He might not be all the way on the scene as He'll be with the headstone fully on the church and everybody. But He can be on the scene to you. But yet we all have to come to a place that He's on the scene to all of us. If you can get the people to believe that, then what have you got? Death will have to step back. You'll have to step back then. You don't have to worry then no more. Death has to take a back seat and step back. Because God will be on the scene. Not that me and you is so great and so something till we just going to destroy death now. God on the scene. Destroyed it the 3 times we gave the illustration through the Bible, and then there's the 4th. When He comes on the scene to the church in His full manifestation, death has to back off. Can't move no further. Let's stand together. Father, we know, Lord, that these words are penned and now they're in Your hands. You promised it wouldn't return void, but accomplish that which it sent. We just believe that You'll just move among us now. Save those that are lost. Heal those that are sick. Lift up those that are downtrodden. And Father, just carry us on with You. Guide us with Your understanding. Help us, Lord, to be in You. May the church see You. See what You're trying to do. Forgive our sins and guide us in Jesus' name. Let's just sing a hymn if anyone has a need. The altar's open. Let's just worship God. Let's just sing that number 3 and the Only Believe book. They come from the east and west. They come from the lands afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face. Anyone else? Aglow with light divine, blessed partakers of his grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Since Jesus has set me free, can you say that? I'm happy as heart. Anyone else now, as we just continue to sing, as we pray with our brother? Death in that goodly land, my Savior has gone before, preparing the way for me. Soon will me to part no more through time or eternity. Since Jesus, all I want you to do, church, it's just believe that God's with you. Where you're at or what you're doing, believe that He's with you. Brother George said it, he hurt his leg on the job. It could have been worse. Terrence the other day fell across a parasol, cut a spot in his leg. I said, son, you better thank God because you could have lost your leg. That's all it took. When he fell across it, it just cut his britches and just nicked the skin. If that saw would have been running, it would just cut his whole leg off right there. Then God is with us. You think about it. Think about Him in that form that He's with us all the time. He's more with us than we could ever realize. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Anyone have anything to say before we dismiss? Remember the services tonight. Remember, Brother Woodby be speaking for us and pray one for another. Pray that the Lord will guide us, keep us safe in His arms, because that's what we want. And that He'll bring His presence. You say, how did I get His presence here? Ain't nothing you can do to get His presence here the way I'm talking. But if we'll come to the place that we can get rid of ourselves, then He'll come that away. Then the problem is between here and there, is getting rid of ourselves. And then that's sovereign. Then we'll find out all of it's sovereign. All of it's Him. All of it. Let's bow our heads, Brother Woodby, would you dismiss us?
Dear Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Lord, for Your blessings, for Your promises, Lord, yes, and Your fulfillment we see come to pass. We thank You, Lord, for Your great program. Love the Lord Jesus that You saved us. Kept us. You've been so good to us. And as one of the prophets said, we too say today, Lord, we don't know what we'd do if we wasn't a Christian.
Yes, Lord.
We see the end coming, the world falling apart, and everything at the end. We're so thankful, Lord, that we're saved. Thank
yes,
You for the word we've heard today. Thank You for Your people. Bless us now and guide us. Go with us. Come with us again in service tonight.
You're dismissed. Take the name of Jesus with you.